Before I speak of the readings this evening, I do want to comment on the United Catholic Appeal. So I do need a lake house, so thank you. I would appreciate that. But thank you. But also just want to kind of comment on that a little bit in my own perspective, and this is off the cuff, which is rare, even though I come out and do this. This is an important collection for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. It really, really is, because this involves our shared ministries that we can't do by ourselves here in Brown County, that no other parish can do on their own. It really involves caring for the people that are most in need, that somehow we have to come together as a community in central and southern Indiana to address. And there's just a couple of thoughts on that. It does involve care for our clergy. It really does. And this parish has benefited from that more than most. Because we've always had a retired priest that has helped out here, so that myself, Father Eric Augenstein, myself before that, and others could do the ministry that was assigned to us and to provide care for our priests who have served so long and have done such great work in our community and to care for them. And I think that that's important. And of course, right now, that's Monsignor Easton, who comes and helps out in his own generosity that's there. But I have a unique perspective as one that works for the Archdiocese, that has worked in vocations and now works with priests, but also is involved in administration, at just what this does in our community. You know, one of the struggles I'm having right now is we have, as a diocese, we have worked so hard to provide home for refugees in this diocese from Afghanistan when we pulled out from there, and from Myanmar, who still struggles in the violence that is there. I'm working on trying to get a third priest, because there's so many languages in Burma, to try to minister to the needs of that community. And this diocese does extraordinary work in providing a home for people that have no home, and to try to make that happen in cooperation with our government, but simply because we're called to be charitable to those that suffer and those who are alone. We do an extraordinary amount of work with people who suffer from poverty and people that have no one to care for them. And it's the United Catholic Appeal that allows us as a community of faith in central and southern Indiana to speak to those needs. Brown County does extraordinary work when it comes to the poor. I mean, we are really outsized in what we do for folks, particularly through St. Vincent de Paul Society. But the needs are so great, and it's beyond just us. We need to be a community of faith that reaches out to the poor everywhere and at all times. We need to be a community of faith that reaches out to those who need to be educated and supported. And that's what it does. So the United Catholic Appeal is focused on education. It's focused on the poor and Catholic charities. It's focused on our retired priests, and it's focused on our seminarians. And let me tell you, they cost a fortune. I know, because I pay the bills. But we need them. Man, we need them. We have so many good, generous men. And in fact, we have numbers now that are better, are approaching what it was when I first did it, you know, 17 years ago. of guys responding and saying yes. But we need the support of others in order to make that happen. I would not be here. I could never have embraced seminary formation if it weren't for the United Catholic Appeal and what it does for us. So I'm sorry, Deacon, you had no idea that this was happening, and because I just felt called, so, which is rare. I'm not that way. So we're going to move away from that, but thank you for your generosity, please, and being supportive of this as our way of supporting our local Catholic community. Well, let me take that back. Supporting people, many of whom are not Catholic at all, but we support them because we love them, because that's our call. So thank you for your generosity. Today we have this extraordinary story in our first reading from the Book of Maccabees of a family that's being devastated because of the persecution of the Jewish people under the Seleucids that are trying to force them to give up their faith and embrace paganism. And one by one, they're executed right in front of their mother. And the suffering that's involved in that. And yet, even though we may not fully understand that whole encounter, we may not even agree with the path that it goes, nevertheless, there's something extraordinary in these brothers and their mother who says there's something more important than just the here and now and embraces something that's beyond. And I have a couple thoughts about that. I think as we listen to the readings today, our thoughts are turned towards the end. We're at the 32nd Sunday of Ordinary Time. We just have a couple more weeks before we move into Advent. And our readings all turn towards our questions about our final destination. And I think one thing that sits before us in our readings today is a sense of courage in our call to be faithful even in the midst of adversity. And I think sometimes we can struggle with presumption as to where we're going in the end, that it really just doesn't matter. And when it's all said and done, we'll just be happy. And I think we like to think that way in terms of our loved ones, that it's just, there's no path. And I'm not trying to be negative. What I am trying to say is relationship does require something from us. And that if we have faith in Jesus Christ, that if we are people that are called together, then that does mean that we need to give ourselves to something. That life isn't just about ourselves, and at the end, it's just okay. That if we really do believe in Jesus, then on some level, we have to be about something more than ourselves. We have to be about something more. We have to be about others, because Jesus was about others. Because our faith calls us to be about others. And that to be faithful, even though we fail, even though we sin, even though we struggle, that to be faithful means that we live in the tension of always striving to be about something beyond me and beyond what it is that I do. My brothers and sisters, if we are to find salvation as we come to the end of our lives, then that means in many ways, like the people we hear in our first reading, those brothers, we have to live for something beyond here. That it matters what we choose and what we're about. And I think that's the second thing that sits on my heart in that. If we're going to be faithful Christians, then we have to remember where we're going and why. We have to remember who we are and what we're about and what it is that we're called to be. Because if our lives are just centered on what we do day to day, if our lives are just centered on the things that we encounter today, or what it is that we bring for ourselves, or what we even bring to our families, or what we do at our work, or whatever that is, if we lose sight of our ultimate goal, then we will struggle to live what it is that we're called to live day in and day out. We can never forget who we belong to and what we're about. We belong to our Lord Jesus Christ. Our lives are given to Him. And it's that generosity of faith, that desire to be for the other, that longing to be with Him, that should define every other decision that we have in our life. And as long as we keep that in front of us, as long as we remember what we love, who we love, what we're about, who we belong to, what we're called to, so long as that is in front of us, then the rest of our lives will conform itself to where it is that we're going. We can't get so enamored by the stuff that's just in front of us that we live in day to day that we forget in the end where it is that we're going. And it's that call to be present to what it is that we're going to that ultimately defines the rest of our lives. The people that we heard in our first reading, that family, knew what they were about to the point of death. They knew what it is, who it was that they were in relationship to their God. And that defined everything else in their lives. Everything they were about, everything that they were called to. Because they knew who they were, they could say yes over and over again. Yes to what it was that was faithful to their calling in God. We as a people in our own culture have to be rooted in where it is, who we belong to and where it is that we're going to. And as long as we stay rooted in that, then we'll find our way. Then we will discern how it is that God calls us and how it is that God will lead us home. Amen. I believe
Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God,
born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father, through Him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the power of the Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Let us bring our prayers and our needs before our God.
For the Church, that our faith in the resurrection may console those facing death, give hope to the baptized, and provide powerful witness to the world, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who will be elected or re-elected to public office this week, that they may serve the people of our country with integrity and work to make the world a better place through their service, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who despair at the failings of their leaders and government, that they may be renewed in faith and determination to overcome those disappointments, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For an increase in vocations to the ordained and religious life, that more men and women may realize the call from the Holy Spirit to dedicate their lives to serve the people of God. And we pray especially for Isaac Siefker, our adopted seminarian. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our faith community, that we may provide consolation and support to all those who mourn the loss of their loved ones, giving witness to Jesus' promise that the dead will rise. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For healing for all the sick and suffering, especially those on our prayer list and in our book of prayer, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all the faithful departed, that they may be raised up into heaven, and for Xander and Braxton Wingate, for whom this Mass is offered, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. Incline your merciful ear to our prayers, we ask, O Lord, and listen in kindness to the supplications of those who call on you. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.